If you would, turn in your Bible to Psalm 73, verse 2. Psalm 73, verse 2. Psalm 73 is one of my favorite psalms. Now, my message is not going to be as long as it was this morning. I'll have mercy on you, you see. And I'm reminded of the preacher. You may have heard this story before, but a preacher had preached a really long sermon in the morning, and in the evening he got up before his congregation and he said, "My message is not going to be as long this evening, inasmuch as I had many points in my outline this morning, my message tonight will be pointless." So I hope it's not quite that way this evening here, but anyway, this message is going to be more of a devotional nature rather than an in-depth Bible study. I want us to be encouraged as we make our way day to day in what Brother Roger calls an upside down world. Psalm 73, verse 2 says this, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask your blessing on this message here this evening, that I may give it clearly and that we may have clear hearts and minds as we listen. May this time be a time of edification and blessing for each of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm calling this message, "When the Bad Guys Win." Now, if you've paid attention to the news at all in the past 3.5 years or so, you've noticed that wickedness in our world is accelerating faster than we've ever seen it before. And it doesn't show any signs of letting up. While those of us who are believers in Christ can look forward to being caught up in the rapture to meet the Lord, we may go through a great deal of trials and tribulations before that takes place. A number of scriptures exhort us to endure, and here's one that makes a sharp point. You don't have to turn there, but it's Proverbs 24, verse 10. "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Now that one jumps up and slaps me right in the face, you know. So during the early days of the COVID ordeal back in 2020, when we were locked down by what basically was medical martial law, I prayed many times for endurance. And I also did something else besides pray, which helped me hold body and soul together. And I'll tell you about that a little later as we go through Psalm 73. Meanwhile, let me tell you about an incident from my past which haunted me in 2020, and it still serves as a painful negative example to me now. I think I was in 9th or 10th grade at the School for the Blind in Nebraska whenever this happened. Our school participated in track meets with other schools for the blind from neighboring states. We were in Aberdeen, South Dakota for a track meet, and it was a cold Saturday morning. I remember that the track was still shaded by nearby buildings and trees. The sun hadn't come around yet there. For long runs like the mile, what we did was run in tandem. A kid who could see pretty good was paired with a kid who couldn't see. We would each hold on to a leather strap, if I remember correctly. On that particular morning, I was scheduled to run the mile with a kid named Lee McGraw. He could see a lot better than me. And we had run the mile once or twice in practice, but not in an actual track meet. 8 laps made up a mile on that particular track. I hated running, and as we ran, you know, my gut hurt, my muscles ached, and I was out of breath. And when we were about halfway through lap number 7, I told Lee that I couldn't make it anymore, and I let go of the leather strap. And I said something stupid like, "You'll have to finish without me." Well, I walked off into the grass holding my gut, and I don't remember if I was chastised for quitting, but we obviously forfeited the race. And I don't want that to be a picture of my walk with the Lord. I want to finish well. I don't want to forfeit a heavenly reward. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So, in this world which is saturated with wickedness, what do we do when the bad guys are winning? And the answer is in Psalm 73. It's in many other places in the scriptures too, but Psalm 73 is where we see a really great picture that gives us instruction here. Now, Psalm 73 is a psalm written by Asaph, and knowing who he was will give us a little perspective about this psalm. Asaph was a member of the tribe of Levi, and the Levites served the Lord in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. Asaph was a skilled singer and poet who King David chose as one of the worship leaders for the tabernacle choir in the time before Solomon built the temple. Asaph was also called a seer and a prophet. He was a man of God who served the Lord by playing an important role in worship services. But he became very discouraged when he saw what was happening in the world around him. His psalm starts off on a positive note. Remember, he wrote it after he had passed through the valley of discouragement. And verse 1 says, "Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." And then Asaph looked at things from his limited individual perspective. "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." You know, this is serious. He was having a crisis of faith. Perhaps he was ready to throw in the towel when it came to serving the Lord. Well, let's find out why that was. Verse 3, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." Now, Asaph doesn't mention anybody by name, but, you know, we've had wickedness since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the fact that he describes an age-old problem is what makes this psalm so relevant for us today. Perhaps you can think of examples of people in high places who seem to have it made, and they just get away with everything. You know, we hear about them in the news, whether it's corporate people, politicians, or, you know, somebody else. Asaph tells us more about the ungodly in verse 6. "Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish." Now, this description goes deeper in the next few verses here. "They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them." Now, the idea is that the wicked, who are so successful, can just say anything and get away with it. They can get away with it, including speaking things that are against God. And their message is spread far and wide. Verse 10 is a difficult verse, but one Bible translation puts it this way: "Therefore his people turn to them and drink in their overflowing waters." So, you know, I saw several different Bible translations, and you wouldn't believe some of them are just really loose and free, and it's like, how do they get that out of this verse? But the idea here is that people drink in whatever the wicked have to say. And, you know, it's disgusting, but we see a lot of that these days, don't we? So verse 11 tells us the attitude of the ungodly, and they say, "How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?" Well, they don't think God knows or sees anything that they do. In fact, they think God is stupid. And then verse 12 continues, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." Okay, now we come to Asaph's discouragement. He's wondering, does it really pay to be righteous? And I'm sure we can all identify with this from time to time. "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Well, notice that Asaph was concerned about not spreading his bitterness to his fellow Israelites. They would be offended, or they just couldn't take what he said. Maybe they'd get mad, or maybe they wouldn't even believe what he had to say. And I can definitely relate to this. Maybe you can too. There are so many things that I hear and read about concerning what's going on in today's world, and I just can't talk to anybody else about them but God. If I do share my thoughts with one of you, I need to pray first about what to say and how to say it. And often it's just best to keep my mouth shut. Besides, you wouldn't want me to lose my cool when I start talking about some of this stuff. So now let's see how Asaph found a solution in verses 16 and 17. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Asaph didn't find solace in the world. He went to the tabernacle where God was worshipped and exalted. You know, there's nothing like hearing God's word preached and being among God's people. Asaph was in the place where he belonged. It's where God wanted him to be. God had called Asaph to be in service to him. Back when things became weird and oppressive in 2020, here's what I did besides pray for endurance. I studied our Sunday school material as if I were going to teach it, because, you know, we never knew when we might go back to doing Sunday school. But we ended up missing nearly two whole quarters worth of lessons on the book of Revelation before we resumed Sunday school that year. Studying God's word literally helped me keep my sanity. I'm not kidding when I say that. There's nothing like communing with the Lord in his word and with the Holy Spirit. It's the best psychological help you can get, believe me. Not only do you and I need to stay in the Word, but when hardship or even persecution comes our way one of these days, we need to stick together as God's people. Since we are the church, we must be the church. The New Testament gives us plenty of guidance on how to do that. So now back to Asaph's situation. God gave Asaph the revelation that he needed about the fate of the wicked. Let's continue in verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castedst them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Now, let me interject here that we don't always see the wicked get their just deserts. However, Asaph was given the big picture as a seer or as a prophet. God will judge the wicked in due time, and it will happen hard and fast. As Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. Here in Psalm 73, verse 21, we see Asaph's repentant attitude once he received the message that the Lord gave him. He was ashamed of himself for doubting God. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Have you ever felt like that? You know, you're just totally humbled. Just like, duh, what an idiot I've been, you know? Well, I've certainly felt like that before the Lord. So verse 23 goes on. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. This is wonderful assurance. When things get tough, God isn't going to let us go. He's our counselor. He's our protector. So now we come to the secret of endurance in verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Remember Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Well, yes, that is a rebuke, but it's also a reminder that if I'm to have strength at all, it has to come from the Lord. Asaph puts a bow on the package here in verses 27 and 28. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. If we're to bring glory to the Lord, we must look to him and not lose heart. He will not allow evil to go on forever, thankfully. Let's remember the words of Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God is sovereign, even when injustice is seemingly rewarded. He has a purpose for what he does, though we may not know what it is. Perhaps his purposes is often nothing more than to show you and me that he is God. The Lord asks us to trust him even when it doesn't make sense to us. Can we do that? Well, we can only do that by the power of his Holy Spirit working within us. And finally, remember the Apostle John's words in 1 John 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, would you stand as we close for prayer and prepare for a time of invitation? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words in Psalm 73. We thank you that you used Asaph, a man of God who served you, to teach us these truths. There is wickedness. There has been since way back when. And again, it's an age-old problem, and this psalm is still relevant for us today. We thank you that your whole word is relevant for us. We don't have to do anything to make it relevant, but it is relevant. It is pertinent, and it reaches right in to us where we are. We thank you for that. We just ask your blessing as we part from one another this evening, that we would remember that you are in control, you are in charge, and you know what you're doing, even when we don't. Help us to trust in you. Fill us with your Spirit. And if there's anyone here or that might be listening that doesn't know you, may they turn to you. May they not wait until the time gets too dark. May they turn to you now and receive Christ as Savior. We thank you for that salvation that we have and for being able to walk with you each day, Lord, and learn from your word and be filled with your Spirit. I thank you and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.